Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Hello, fellow Patriots and Liberty lovers everywhere. Great to have you along on a glorious Monday. Good way to kick off the work week weather-wise. Anyhow, great to have you along. And as always, your input is invited, encouraged, and welcomed. Here is how you join me and be a part of the conversation today. Just grab the phone and call me. Use the Ingalls Advantage talk line, 800-347-1063. If you prefer to send me a text, that should go to 71307, which is the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line number, and my email address, bob@1063word.com. It seems as if it's something new every day, and the revelations of the Hunter Biden emails have kind of bumped the nomination hearings for ACB off the front page, but they are still there and still vitally important. And joining me this afternoon is Jessica Anderson, who is the executive director of Heritage Action for America. Jessica, welcome to the show. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Hi, thanks for having me.
In the wake of what we saw, Jessica, during the Kavanaugh hearings, are you surprised at all at how relatively mild the criticism has been for Judge Barrett?
I am. You know, to be honest, I keep waiting for the other shoe to drop, that Democrats and those on the left are just huddled somewhere in a basement putting together a last-minute strategy to delay her nomination, as they did with Kavanaugh. That hasn't happened yet. And so far, we are tracking for her to be nominated out of the Senate Judiciary Committee this coming Thursday.
The procedural problems that exist apparently can be overcome by Senator Graham, who's the head of the Judiciary Committee. We already have heard Senator Schumer talk about how the Democrats plan to stay away, not provide a quorum, in other words, keeping it unofficial. How do you see this playing out, Jessica?
Well, it's funny that you bring that up, because I think that Democrats have realized that they don't have, you know, any story to make an expose out of her background. So they're now relying on procedure to potentially stall. And let's just say that if they do stay away, there are some moves that Senator Graham, as well as Senator McConnell later on the floor, could do to ensure that she has a vote. And I think they're well prepared and positioned to do that. And I think the fact that you saw really all the time that was used last week in the confirmation hearings to make political postures and policy positions by Democrats just really shows how out of touch they've become with the American people that are looking for their judge to move swiftly through the confirmation and to be about upholding and interpreting the law, not commitments on a policy position here or there.
Yeah, I would totally agree. I think if there's one thing that the American people are sick of, it is activist jurists making law from the bench rather than interpreting what the founders wrote in the founding documents. People have had enough of that.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think the polling is showing that, you know, right after Ruth Bader Ginsburg passed away, there was a lot of confusion in the polls as to whether, you know, a nominee should be named, should it be before the election. There's just kind of polling was all over the place. And once the president named the nominee, and once the America got to know Judge Barrett, the support for her is through the roof, because she's an originalist. She represents someone that is not going to, you know, have an agenda or seek a specific policy position. She's simply there to interpret the law. And that sort of fundamental shift in the court is so important right now, especially as we look to the challenges of future generations. We want a Supreme Court that is only going to interpret the law before them. We don't need another branch of the federal government that is a policymaker. Congress has their hands full doing that. Let's leave it to them. They're most accountable to the American people as opposed to these lifetime, you know, tenured positions of a Supreme Court justice.
Yeah, and certainly that's the way the founders intended it. And
absolutely.
And when you look at Judge Barrett, I cannot remember an individual with a more outstanding resume, better qualified to be on that bench than ACB.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. She has got an impeccable jurisprudence background. Her legal career varies not only from her time at the Seventh Circuit, but as a law professor. And so when you look at her entire body of work, you see someone that is a textualist, that loves the Constitution. And then those are stuff. I mean, look at the hearing last week. She didn't have any notes in front of her. I mean, what
right.
a great moment, you know, when a senator asked her what's before you, and she held up a blank piece of paper. I mean, that was just fantastic. And it just shows you how well qualified and what a commitment she has around her body of work. She clearly has a handle of all of her cases, can reference them easily, and I think she would just make an excellent Supreme Court justice.
Yeah, me too. Your assessment then, Jessica, that it will be voted out of committee this week and perhaps voted on as soon as next week?
I do. You know, in Washington, you never want to call a baller strike before it's over the finish line. But we're feeling confident. We're not taking anything for granted. We're eager for her to move through this process out of the Judiciary Committee Thursday. She could see a floor vote on the Senate floor as early as Monday, maybe Tuesday, which would be great because we can wrap this whole thing up before the election.
Yeah, that would be terrific. Jessica Anderson, she is the executive director, Heritage Action for America. Jessica, thanks so much for your assessment, and thanks for the work that the folks at Heritage do to stand up for conservative principles. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Great to have you here. 13 after 4 here on the Bobby Mack Show, in on the text line 71307. Hey, Bobby, you should be able to do the same as Twitter and Facebook. Simply find a reason that Harrison's ads violate the policies of WORD and ban them. A couple of things there. First of all, FCC restrictions under Section 230 give Twitter and Facebook a great deal of latitude in terms of what they can and cannot do in this cancel culture environment in censoring information. That also, I think, is going to come under scrutiny in the House and Senate. Something needs to be done to update that to more modern times, given the activism that we're obviously seeing on Facebook and Twitter. The other aspect of it is that federal law prohibits broadcast outlets, that is radio and TV stations, from refusing political ads, with a few exceptions, one being if the ad contains profanity. And the Jamie Harrison ad about Dr. Bill Bledsoe skirts the edges of, but they don't say anything that is totally inaccurate. What they do say is that Bill Bledsoe's name is on the ballot. They don't tell you, of course, that Bill Bledsoe has dropped out of that race and has endorsed Lindsey Graham. So it's a lie by omission rather than commission. Hi, Bobby. With Harrison talking about Dr. whatever his name is, that's Bill Bledsoe, it is telling that he's for gun control. Bobby, I'm screaming right now. Can you hear me? I cannot take this damn Bill Bledsoe, Jamie Harrison commercial anymore. I know. Gets on our nerves. Bobby, Graham should have at least one volunteer outside every polling place informing everyone going in to vote that Bledsoe has already dropped out as of October 1st. Yeah, and they should also mention that in dropping out, Dr. Bledsoe endorsed Lindsey. Quarter after 4 here on the Bobby Mack Show. Step aside for a moment, right back with more as hour 2 rolls on here on the Monday Bobby Mack Show on WORD.
baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back, 421 here on the Bobby Mack Show. Great to have you along on this glorious Monday afternoon. Let's quickly go back to the phones, heading to Spartanburg and bringing in Tracy on the Bobby Mack Show. Hi, Tracy, and welcome to the program.
Hey, how are you doing today?
So far, so good.
So good. this morning, I don't do a whole lot of, I don't do any Facebook, YouTube, or anything, but I always have friends send me stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I had a friend send me a YouTube video of the Levine show, Life and Liberty with Levine with Giuliani. And it ended up, I watched it, and then I tried to forward it. Next thing I know, he texted me back a couple hours later, and they done wiped it out.
Yeah.
YouTube.
Right.
So I can't get it. Nobody else can get it. And that just shows you what kind of control, what they're trying to do. So it's very unfortunate that that goes on, but it's a fact.
Yeah, and it is. It's nothing more than blatant censorship, but it's easily understood why this stuff happens. You know who owns YouTube, right?
No, I do not.
Google.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Yeah. YouTube was started, I think, in 2004, somewhere around there, 2005, by a couple of guys that used to work at PayPal. And the folks at Google said, oh, we want to get in on this. And so they bought YouTube. Google bought YouTube for something like $1.5 billion back then, and I would say they've made their money back. But again, they are, as you have discovered, merely another leftist platform involved in censorship.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, I enjoy your show, and I just wanted to put that out there. I've never called before, but it's really, really concerns me when they censor, censoring everything. It's just a big concern of mine, and I don't know. Just don't know where we're headed in the world anymore.
Free speech. And this is a leading indicator of where we will be heading if the Bidens and Pelosis and Schumers of the world get some power back, because it'll get worse, not better. Yeah. Thank you, Tracy.
Yep,
I appreciate the call. And
thank you. Have a good evening.
You too, sir. I hope you have a good one as well. 23 after 4 here on the Bobby Mack Show. I mentioned this in passing earlier. The former business partner of Hunter Biden, who flipped on the Biden family from prison, has provided access to 26,000 emails. This is at Breitbart today. Senior contributor Peter Schweizer, in a Saturday morning radio appearance, said that former Hunter Biden business partner Bevin Cooney provided 26,000 emails to him, the first of which were published late last week in a Breitbart News exclusive investigation. Cooney is currently serving a sentence in federal prison due to his conviction over financial deals he made connected to Hunter Biden and his other partner, Devin Archer. Archer, who was also convicted by a jury in federal court, saw his conviction vacated by a federal judge. That conviction was later reinstated by an appellate court, which overruled the lower court judge's decision to vacate it. And so now Devin Archer is awaiting sentencing. In the meantime, however, Cooney, who is serving his sentence in federal prison, reached out to Schweizer via conservative journalist Matthew Tierman and provided written authorization to access his Gmail account. He provided the password and username and written authorization to publish emails because Schweizer says he believes he was the fall guy for the Biden family's corruption and that he believes the public needs to know what really happened in Hunter Biden's universe. The first article on these emails was published Friday afternoon and detailed how Hunter Biden and his partners secured meetings with senior White House officials in November of 2011 for Chinese communist elites, including, as the Chinese elites who are present revealed, a secret meeting with then-VP Joe Biden himself. The Biden campaign has not responded to requests for comments about this from Breitbart. Bevin Cooney was business partners with Hunter Biden and Devin Archer. Anybody find it interesting that both Cooney, who is already in federal prison, and Devin Archer, who's on his way there, Hunter's former business partners, are now all ending up in the Gray Bar Hotel, and yet Hunter Biden is apparently skating to this point? Devin Cooney was a business partner with Hunter Biden and Devin Archer. He was a nightclub owner. He owns the Viper Room in Los Angeles and got involved in these financial deals. He ended up going to jail and really feels that he was the fall guy. Devin Archer is now going to be going to jail as well because of the same deals, but Cooney really feels like Hunter Biden was able to walk off scot-free. He had reached out to me in 2019, Schweizer said, after my book, Secret Empires, came out the year before. That would have been 2018. He talked about sharing his emails, but it never happened. He ended up going to jail. He recently reached out through Matt Tiermond, a journalist, and said, I want to give you access to all of my emails in my Gmail account. He gave me written approval to do that and gave us the password. We have been going through the 26,000 emails. The article that we ran on Breitbart about China Inc., China Incorporated, is the first of what is going to be several. In this particular story, we lay out how Hunter Biden and his business partners set up a meeting for this group called the China Entrepreneurs Club. Don't let that benign name fool you. This is regarded as joined at the hip with the Chinese Communist government. What isn't over there? This China Entrepreneurs Club wanted a meeting at the highest levels of the White House, and Hunter Biden arranged them. What's very curious about this is not only that they got those meetings on November 14th, 2011, but they actually, according to members, had a private, secret meeting with Joe Biden himself. We don't know about this because it appeared on the White House visitors log or the White House calendar because it doesn't. We know about it because the Chinese that were on that trip bragged about it in their blog post back in China that they had a private, secret meeting with Joe Biden. Out of that sprang relationships and business deals with Hunter Biden, and his business partners were apparently able to take advantage of it. So it demonstrates how this access, with the participation of Joe Biden, translated into commercial deals down the road. Schweizer said this first round of emails, published late last week, only a handful of the 26,000 obtained, is just the beginning. There are more, he said, including ones that further illustrate the relationship between Hunter Biden and the ex-wife of the former Moscow mayor, Yelena Batyrina. A payment from her to Hunter Biden, a major revelation in a recent U.S. Senate report on the Biden family corruption, as well as a clearer, more vivid description of just how the Bidens worked to develop a system to use Joe Biden's position in government to enrich themselves. There is much more on this, and it's not looking good for Sleepy Joe. By the way, President Trump reiterating again today, he intends to bring all of this up in the Thursday night debate. 4:30 here on the Bobby, if the moderator doesn't shut him up. 4:30 here on the Bobby Mac Show. Annie's ready to update the news. I'm right back on the other side here on Monday on WORD. Welcome back. 4:38 now, 22 before 5 here on the Bobby Mack Show. The president speaking at a campaign rally in Prescott, Arizona this afternoon. He's been going for more than an hour because he is the human energizer bunny. And by the way, my friend Presley Stutz, in an email today to all members of the Tea Party here in the upstate of South Carolina, want to remind you, 2 days from now, this Wednesday, your chance to be a part of history, because for the first time, President Trump is coming to the Gastonia Municipal Airport for a 7 o'clock in the evening rally. Doors open at 4. It will be outside in the open on the grass near the tarmac, as all these events are, during the Wuhan flu scamdemic. The address for the event is 1030 Gaston Day Road, Gastonia, North Carolina, 28056. It is about a 75-minute drive from Greenville. It will most likely be the very last time that you'll have the opportunity to experience a Trump rally this close to home and see the president in person. Many of you have called and asked that we carpool as a group, so this is what we have arranged. And again, this is from Presley Stutz at the Tea Party. We will meet at the Cracker Barrel restaurant in Duncan at 1 p.m. for lunch. It's located at 1525 East Main Street, Highway 290, about a quarter of a mile off of I-85. We will leave at 2 p.m. sharp from the Cracker Barrel parking lot, check the weather forecast, dress accordingly, bring plenty of water, and perhaps a folding chair. You will be outside for several hours, and most likely you will be standing the entire time. Okay? So a Tea Party is putting together a carpooling event up to the president's appearance in Gastonia. That is going to be this Wednesday, 2 days from now. And if you need a repeat of that information or more of the details, just go to the Greenville Tea Party. I know they're on Facebook, and I'm not sure what they're... well, you can just Google Greenville Tea Party, and it'll bring up all the connections to them. In on the text line, Bob, the recent ad by Jamie Harrison about Bledsoe says essentially screw you to Jamie's own voters. Now they have knowingly voted for a man that's conning them. Well, he's been conning him from the beginning, posing as a moderate when in fact he's a hardcore leftist. Bobby, so if Joe Biden got his butt handed to him negotiating with the Chinese on behalf of the U.S., how is this not treason? Well, at the very least, it's influence peddling. Bobby, all of this was not happening without Obama knowing about it. Agreed. Bobby, I believe another of Hunter Biden's business partners is James Bulger. Name sound familiar? He is the nephew of James Whitey Bulger and the son of former Massachusetts Senate President William Bulger, who would make Hugh Leatherman look like a Boy Scout. Yeah. Bobby, I did a search. What has Kristen Welker said about Trump? She's going to be the moderator Thursday night. All I got was story after story. Trump bashes moderator Welker. Trump calls moderator biased, unfair, etc., etc. I tried Kristen Welker on Trump. Same results. Disgusting. Welcome to Pravda from Alan R. in Spartanburg. Well, you can't see all the vile things that she has said about Donald Trump on her Twitter page because her account is closed down. Isn't that convenient? Bob, I hope that you'll make mention that Dr. Bill Bledsoe has dropped out of the race frequently. It would be nice if you guys could make mention of that each time that commercial is played to inform your listeners of what's really going on. Pretty sneaky, maniacal little ad they've got going there, and a lot of people may end up falling for it. Bob, did you hear they're combining YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook into one platform? It'll be called YouTwitface. Yeah, and people will sign up for it. Mr. McLean, I actually like the ad about Bledsoe. I'm surprised he ran that ad because, well, sounds like my candidate, Semper Fi. Yeah, but unfortunately, he's no longer in the race. Bobby, it's obvious from Harrison's Bledsoe ads, he thinks we're a bunch of rubes who would fall for that and split the conservative vote. Yeah, that's exactly what he is hoping. Bobby, Harrison's ads are misinformation. Graham and or the dropout candidate should just make counter ads telling the truth. Yeah, but that takes money. And the Democrats support a ton of that into Jamie Harrison's campaign war chest. Bobby, Lindsay needs to cut a commercial allowing Bill Bledsoe to speak for Lindsay, providing the details the Harrison ad conveniently leaves out. Yeah, a lot of text messages along those lines. Hi, Bobby. With Harrison talking about Dr. Whatever, whatever his name is, it is telling that Jamie Harrison is for gun control. That's not all he's for. You know, he's for abortion, up to and including the moment of birth, and all the rest of the progressive socialist Marxist agenda. Quarter before five here on the Bobby Mack Show. Step aside for a moment, pay the light bill, and then be right back with more here on Monday on WORD. Welcome back. 5:09, hour number two, the closing minutes here on this Monday afternoon. You know, I got to thinking after talking about my friends at the Schneider Tree Care, with Halloween right around the corner, just a couple of weeks away now. You know, people have gotten so sensitive about everything these days, even pumpkin carving, which can be perceived as being so cruel. You know, carving up those pumpkins. But at Caring Vines Orchard, as the Bobby Mack semi-professional players point out, every pumpkin is nurtured as an individual.
When you carve a pumpkin, does it feel pain? How do we really know? Hi, at Caring Vines Orchard, we nurture every pumpkin as individuals, unique in their own way. We interview prospective adopters to make sure our little orange babies are going to a good home.
We have a renovated Tudor with a screened-in porch where they'll be on display, but protected from the elements.
Sounds lovely.
Thanks.
No knives will ever touch their tender shells. The precious pumpkins from our orchard are decorative, unlike others. Maimed victims exploited for a holiday created to scare and frighten.
I want a jack-o'-lantern.
We don't say that here. Sounds like jerk, and that's pejorative.
You're a jerk-o'-lantern.
Well, your costume is common and pedestrian.
What?
A princess. Really original. Hush. Welcome a Caring Vines Orchard pumpkin into your home. Our pumpkins come with a promise. We don't carve. We covet. Pleasant Halloween.
Supported by lefties everywhere. 5:07 here on the Bobby Mack Show. By the way, all this business with the emails from Hunter Biden's laptop, A couple of reactions from the Biden campaign, none of which are actually germane to the issue. One, they initially said, well, we checked Joe Biden's official calendar for that date where the VP supposedly had this meeting with the number three guy from Burisma Energy. But there's it's not on his official calendar. Well, of course not. I mean, if you're going to engage in corruption and influence peddling, are you going to put it on your official calendar? That's like writing down in your diary, "Dear diary, today I robbed the First National Bank." Come on. They also, interestingly, have said, well, I don't think anybody has disavowed the accuracy of these emails. Ooh, boy, that's interesting. And of course, every time Biden's asked about it, you know, he screams, oh, this has all been, what's the word that he used? He said that they essentially no longer carried any weight, didn't have any validity. However, today, the DNI, the Director of National Intelligence, John Ratcliffe, said that Hunter Biden's laptop, quote, is not part of some Russian disinformation campaign. This after claims from House Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiffless suggesting otherwise. On Fox Business Mornings with Maria Bartiromo was asked about the allegations from Schiff, who over the weekend said that the Hunter Biden emails suggesting his dad had knowledge of and was allegedly involved in his son's sordid foreign business dealings, said that it was a Russian disinformation campaign. And I guess that's their fallback position, since the whole business with the attempted coup against President Trump, with the Steele dossier and all the rest, was billed or sold as a Russian disinformation campaign, when in point of fact it was paid for by the Hillary Clinton campaign and the DNC. Ratcliffe saying it's funny that some of the people who complain the most about intelligence being politicized are the ones politicizing the intelligence. Unfortunately, it is Adam Schiff who said the intelligence community believes the Hunter Biden laptop and emails on it are part of a Russian disinformation campaign. Let me be clear. The intelligence community does not believe that because there is no intelligence that supports that, and we have shared no intelligence with Adam Schiff or any member of Congress. Ratcliffe went on to say that Schiff's accusation about this all being Russian disinformation is simply not true. Hunter Biden's laptop is not part of some Russian disinformation campaign. This is not part of some Russian disinformation campaign, he repeated. Yeah, because it's all the emails that Hunter Biden wrote. And very telling. We'll see what happens on Thursday night when President Trump brings this up to Sleepy Joe. I'm sure he'll have some kind of convoluted answer. Hour number three, the 5 o'clock follies, on the way next.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.